It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM, American Public Media. I'm John Moe. The situation in Libya is volatile and important. Decades from now, this upheaval will be studied by historians. But we live today, and we need to make sense of it today. Twitter offers real-time, up-to-the-second information, but so much of it that it's hard to sort out. Andy Carvin is a senior strategist at NPR. He's been on Twitter 16 hours a day lately. I asked him who he chooses to follow to sort out the news from Libya.
I essentially started by looking at the Libyan expat community in the U.S. and Europe because they don't have any restrictions to talk on Twitter or Facebook and the like. And so once I had had enough conversations with people in those groups and got a sense of who they were relying on, who they trusted, who they didn't trust, it allowed me to start filling in the blanks and having at least a minimum number of people that allowed me to feel comfortable in covering it.
How do you decide out of that fire hose of tweets that are coming out all the time, how do you decide what to redistribute to people who are following you?
One thing I've been trying to do is have my Twitter account tell the story of what protesters and people on the other side who are tweeting as well are experiencing. And so if I find a profound statement or there's just something emotional they're trying to express through Twitter, I'll retweet it and not ask for confirmation or anything like that, simply because they're expressing their opinion. In other cases, I'm really actually trying to get to the facts in the situation. And so, for example, there have been reports that the town of Zawiya got hammered pretty hard by Gaddafi forces. And I saw several people on Twitter who were Libyan expats saying it looks like Zawiya has been wiped off the map. And even though I knew that the town had been attacked, I hadn't heard anything that extreme. So I started asking people on Twitter, what are you hearing? What's going on? And ultimately started hearing from some of the Libyans as well as Western press who's there saying the town got hit pretty hard, but the revolutionary forces are still holding the town up. And so I'll often start tweeting in a situation where I don't have the facts, and I try to use my Twitter account to help fill those facts.
You know, yeah, I've noticed with a lot of these tweets that words like confirmed and breaking have kind of lost a lot of the meanings that they've always had.
In fact, when I see a tweet from someone in the field who says breaking or confirmed, I'm less likely to retweet it because the phrase gets overused so much I don't know what to believe among them. Sometimes what I'll do is simply reply and ask, where are you getting that from? What are you hearing? Are you there? And so I'm somewhat cautious in how I retweet those and just try to use them as an opportunity to ask more probing questions.
That step of asking new questions can give you, the reader, a chance to hear a lot of stories. According to Mike Anani, he's a postdoc at Microsoft Research and a fellow at the Berkman Center at Harvard.
One of the great things about Twitter is that we start to realize that there's no such thing as a single story to follow, but rather events are happening, multiple sources are telling us what they're seeing. We can get sort of personal perspectives and eyewitness accounts in a timely fashion that we couldn't have gotten before. These are stories that the mainstream media might not have brought us. And it's also a way to connect with some people directly involved in the middle of events.
Let's harvest the fruits of research.
According to a recent study,
we're terrible at going to bed. The National Sleep Foundation says 95% of Americans are on some kind of screen in the hour before going to bed. TV, computer, phone. Screen light tricks the body into thinking it's daytime. It delays production of melatonin, the hormone that makes you tired. But of course the National Sleep Foundation says that. They're shamelessly pro-sleep. Did you know that by going to bed at a decent hour, you could miss out on crucial infomercials and YouTube videos? According to a recent study was performed by Amanda French, this is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.